We're coming to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 3 is our text. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We would ask you to keep your Bible open. We will turn to other references that are important when we come to examine just exactly the teaching of the Alpha course. And keep your mind on that verse in Timothy, and we'll refer to other portions of God's word as well. But let's bow in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to come and to bless his word. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for thy grace today already. We thank thee, Lord, for the seasons of prayer, for our Sunday school and Bible class. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry and song of these young people. We pray thou will bless them and be with them. We thank the Lord for drawing our attention very early on in our meeting today to the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that thou will keep us near the cross. Keep us ever looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, today as we would consider thy word and examine the Alpha course in the light of thy word, O God, thou wilt give us wisdom. May we not be ignorant of the times in which we live. May we not be children in understanding. But in understanding make us men, we pray. We ask, Lord, thou wilt guide our thoughts. Lord, thou wilt instruct us in the word and in the ways of the Lord. But Lord, we might not be guilty of that which is spoken of in this text. Not enduring sound doctrine, but turning away from that which is of the Lord onto something else. Lord, bless thy word today. May it come with freshness and with power. May it be in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I ask, O God, that thou wilt put thy word into my mouth and bless both preacher and hearer alike. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the early 1980s, a leading Anglican cleric by the name of Charles Marnham devised a course of lessons to look at what he termed the basics of the Christian faith in a way that would be helpful to young Christians. The four-week series covered subjects such as assurance, Jesus, the Bible, and prayer. Almost 30 persons attended those weekly meetings, and as a result of their favourable comments, it was decided to run that particular course on a regular basis. In 1981, Mr. John Irvine, a 51-year-old former barrister, succeeded Marnham as the curate of Holy Trinity, Brompton. He immediately extended the course from 4 weeks to 10 weeks. He also included a weekend away, which was devoted to the subject of the Holy Spirit. And many years have passed since those small beginnings, but that course, which commenced back then in the early 1980s, has evolved into what is known today as the Alpha Course. It's no longer confined to a church flat in West London, and it no longer only involves 30 people. The Alpha Course, or the work of the Alpha Course, is an initiative which has known rapid growth. So much so that there are some who would suggest that there are 17,000 courses being run worldwide during this year alone. Now, the appeal of Alpha is seen in that in the United Kingdom it has been adopted by Anglican, Methodist, Congregational, Presbyterian, and Baptist churches. It's also used by the Salvation Army, in Elam Pentecostal assemblies, in evangelical free churches, in charismatic fellowships, and also by the Roman Catholic Church. There are courses which are run in private homes, in universities, in colleges and workplaces, and even in prisons. And it seems that Alpha knows no boundaries. And that as far as numerical growth is concerned, it is simply going from strength to strength. Now, the phenomenal expansion of this initiative will undoubtedly continue in the summer of this year. I say that because on the 29th of July, ITV will commence a 10-week series of programs on the Alpha Course. The documentary, something like a fly-on-the-wall documentary, will be hosted by David Frost and shown on Sunday evenings. It has been described as one of the biggest religious projects to be undertaken by national television in recent years. And it will undoubtedly generate publicity. And when the 10-week series is followed in September by a great poster campaign, billboard poster campaign, and supper campaign, it is expected that churches will be faced by rising demands for this 10-week course. Come July, and the weeks that follow July, there will be times of extensive and persuasive marketing. Alpha will be presented right across the United Kingdom, right into Northern Ireland as well, will be presented as the beginning, hence the name Alpha, the beginning to the Christian faith. It will be advertised as a means of grounding new professing Christians. It will be promoted as a way to explore the meaning of life. It will be viewed by many as a powerful tool of evangelism. It will be set forth as an essential part of church work, which almost guarantees church growth. And it will be hailed as a new way to bring people to the religion of the Bible and to cause them to make a profession of personal experience of salvation. Now, the supporters of Alpha will very loudly claim, very vociferously claim, that it's an excellent initiative. And they will argue that if Alpha leads people to read the Bible, if it leads them to attend church or become interested in religion, if it leads them to speak of Christ and to talk of the infilling of the Spirit of God and to make a commitment in their lives, then it must be good. And then it must be acceptable and accepted without question. That's exactly what many have done. They have adopted and aligned themselves to this scheme of religious teaching without giving it due consideration. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, we are exhorted, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I want you to note the danger that exists here. John writes that there are many false prophets gone out into the world. In other words, there are those who act and speak as if they were of God. There are those who give the impression that they are Christian, that they're spiritual, that they're sound in the faith. But they are false prophets. They are not of God, and instead of being for the good of the people and for the glory of God, they are a great danger. Note, there are many of them. The danger is widespread. And therefore it's essential that the Christian is both discerning and prudent. That's why we are to examine these things. That's why we are to test the words. That's why we are to make inquiries about them. That's why the believer has a duty under God to prove them, to see whether their teaching and their testimony is in accordance with the Word of God or not. Our standard of testing, I might say, is not the opinions of men. Our standard of testing is not the recommendations that come from church leaders or from prominent clerics. Our standard of testing is the Word of God. Isaiah 8 verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." And that is our standard. Now, when Alpha is subjected to a careful examination in the light of the Word of God, when Alpha is placed in the balances of scriptural truth, when it's tested by the holy standards of God, it's found wanting. I might just say here that if Alpha is faithful to the Word of God, and if it's true to the gospel, if it exalts Christ, if it instructs people in sound doctrines of the Scriptures, then I would have no objection to it. But when it does not stand on the foundations of gospel truth, and when it does not present a clear and complete message, and it doesn't, then like the watchman I have a duty to blow the trumpet with no uncertain sound, that men and women might be warned of the danger of another spiritual deception. I'm very conscious today that Alpha Course is very popular in many quarters. I'm very conscious that it's very well marketed. And I'm conscious that it holds a very prominent position in very many churches. Those things must not deflect me from testing it and trying it as God demands we should. Now there are four things, as I said, that I want to look at in regard to the Alpha Course. I want to look at the fact that it presents an unbiblical theology. I want to look at the fact that it practices an unscriptural ministry. I want to look also at the fact that it produces false security. And then finally look at the fact that it promotes ecumenical activity. But we're going to confine ourselves this morning to the first one, that it presents an unbiblical theology. The importance of sound doctrine can never be minimized in the work of God. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he urged him to take heed to himself and to his doctrine. And he reminds the young preacher here in the portion we read together of his need to preach the word and to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And Paul didn't confine those words just to Timothy. He also looked to Titus and he said to him, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Biblical theology is vital in any work for God. Our message must be based on scriptural truth. There must be a careful adherence to the inspired word of God and to the teaching of God's words. Our statements, our sayings, our sermons must be in agreement with biblical Christianity. Now at a glance it appears that Alpha Course meets all those requirements. It quotes from the Bible. It refers to God. It makes mention of Jesus Christ. It encourages men and women to consider eternal things. And at a glance it seems that all is well. But when a closer inspection is made, it becomes all too apparent that the doctrinal position of Alpha is not a sound one. Its theology is flawed. It doesn't rest on the clear record of Scripture. Rather, it contains much by way of modernism and liberal theology. Well, we only have time this morning to look at three parts of this. I want you to think on the character of God. The character of God. The Scripture presents a sovereign, holy, and almighty God. A God who is far above all. A God who rules and reigns in the kingdoms of men. A God who is sovereign over all things and with whom all men have to do. If we were to take the terms of the Shorter Catechism, which appear in answer to the question, what is God? We would have a fine summary of the person of God. God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is infinite. He cannot be measured. He cannot be contained. He cannot be surpassed. He is eternal. Our God has no beginning, and he has no ending from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is unchangeable. Men change. Circumstances change. Nations change. But Jehovah never changes. He is the unchangeable God. He is all wise. His ways are perfect and true and upright. He makes no mistakes. God is all powerful. No one can stand against this almighty God. By his power he formed the world out of nothing, and by his power he sustains the world according to his own pleasure. He has power to save, and he has power to damn. He has power to lift up, and he has power to cast down. He has power to deliver, and he has power to destroy. All power belongs unto God. He is holy also.
so holy, in fact, that he cannot look on sin. So holy that he dwells in all unapproachable light. So holy that no one can accuse him of wrongdoing. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He is just. The justice of God is often forgotten in this modernistic age.